the first five books of Old Testament was written by Moses. So it was called Torah. And the first five books actually is the foundation of the faith of the chosen people. So we will spend totally about 5 hours focus on the first five books. And this evening, we would like to cover two books. And then we're remaining about 8 and 9 hours. We will go through all the other books. So 1 hour, about 4 to 5 books. Yeah. And then before we go into Leviticus, that review, what is the theme of the book of Exodus? Redemption or deliverance. The first part is redemption through the blood of the lamb covered in the door frame. So they were redeemed. The firstborn son still alive. And then the next one is deliverance. God used a mighty miracle to substitute the stubbornness of the Egyptian king, Pharaoh. So they came out of the Egypt and started a journey in the wilderness. And spiritually speaking, after receiving the baptism, we start the journey of faith until we go into Canaan, heaven. And then Leviticus is something different topic. The Leviticus emphasize on holiness. So you can see there's a logic there. Genesis and Exodus, after they've been delivered, and they start to worship God. And then to Leviticus, they emphasize on holiness. And how come they have to emphasize on holiness? Let's turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 45. Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 45. Can we read together? For I am the Lord who bring you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So why should we be holy? Why should we be holy? For I am holy, because God is holy. So if the church is a worldly organization, or we come to the church to socialize, right, then there's no point. We emphasize on holiness. So in the world, nobody talk about holiness, right? Because there is no God. But when we come to the church, since the church is a body of Christ, it's a place where God feel upon. So in the church, we have emphasized holiness because we come to the church to have fellowship with the holy God. So that is the reason they emphasize the holiness. So this is the main theme of Leviticus. And then there are a few key verses. Chapter 7, verse 11. Or chapter 20. Let's look into chapter 20. Verse 7 to 8. Okay. 7 to 8. Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. 8. And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctify you. So repeatedly, God commanded the Israelites, they have to consecrate themselves to be holy. Because I am the Lord your God. Because God is holy and God is their Lord, their master. And then in the book of Leviticus, we can see the shadow of Christ. Of course, the essence, Jesus Christ, came to the world in the New Testament. First, they offer the five offerings. In the book of Leviticus, there are seven feasts and five offerings. Oh. And the five offerings actually is for atonement. Before a person can approach God, the person had to offer the sacrifice. A sacrifice to shed the blood of animal and apply the blood to a person's body so the sin can be atoned, can be forgiven. And this is prefigure the blood of Jesus Christ will sanctify us so that we can approach the God of holiness. And the seven feasts, of course, the seven feasts also represent fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the seven feasts, including the day of Pentecost, including the feast of blowing the trumpet, all of that had that spiritual meaning, including the feast of Passover. We know the feast of Passover means Holy Communion. And blowing the trumpet means preaching the gospel. And then the Feast of Tabernacle, I don't know how to say it in English. All of the seven feasts has something to do with Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ already prefigured in the book of Leviticus. And then in the book of Leviticus also talk about high priest. We already mentioned the high priest actually represent the Lord Jesus Christ. All the high priests had their own shortcoming. The first, as a human being, as a high priest, a human being will die. So always you have to change a different high priest. The second, the high priest will sin because high priest is a human being too. So they have to offer sacrifice for themselves, and they will be able to go into the Holy of Holiness to offer a sacrifice for the Israelite. And Jesus Christ is a high priest. He will never die. And he used his own blood, the blood of a sinless person. And that kind of offering is far more beautiful than the blood of the animal. So the high priest already prefigure the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Leviticus, since it talk about the holiness, there are a few points that we have to mention. We look into the outline. The book of Leviticus can separate into two parts. The first 17 chapter is talk about sacrifice. And the second part, from chapter 18 to 27, is talk about sanctification. First is sacrifice, the second is sanctification. And both of them are related to holiness. Sacrifice is for atonement, of course, it is holiness. And sanctification, yes, to live a life being sanctified, a sinless life. That also refers to holiness. So spiritually speaking, in the journey of faith, we have to emphasize on the book of Leviticus, the point is holiness. And if we look into, chapter 18, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 1 to verse 5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, I am the Lord your God." Verse 3. "According to the doing of the land of Egypt, where you dwell, you shall not do." You shall not do according to the doing of the land of Egypt. Right? And according to the doing of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. Verse 4. So you shall observe my judgment and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statute and my judgment, which if a man does, he shall live by them, and I am the Lord. So what does the Lord command them is the land of Egypt you just left, right? You shall not follow their doing. Their doing actually is what? Their practices or their tradition or their culture. And the land I'm going to bring you to is Canaan. Also, Canaan has its own culture, has their own tradition. So you shall not follow them. So God tried to use his law and ordinances to discipline the Israelites, live a life different from either Egypt or Canaan. So holiness itself, original text, means separation. And Jesus Christ, before his departure, right, he has a prayer in the John chapter 17. And Jesus' prayer had two important points. The first point is unity. Jesus prayed all the disciples can be unified because his body, only one body. The second point is sanctification. And Jesus Christ said, I do not want you to depart from the world. You have to live in the world, but you don't belong to the world. But you have to sanctify yourself by the words of God. So sanctify means separation. And the most difficult part is, as a Christian, we cannot live a life segregated from the world. We have to live inside the world to be the light, to glorify the name of God. And we know the world has its own practices, has its own custom, but we have to be different from them. That is the most important part and most difficult part. So the Lord commanded them, right? You shall not follow them, then what should you follow? You shall walk, follow God's judgment and God's ordinances. So if we do everything according to the teaching of the Bible, then inside our thinking, outside our, the way we live our life, will be different from the people in the world. Then we are considered holy. So to understand the words of God is critical important, because the words of God will tell us what God wants us to do. Once we understand what God wants us to do, then our eyesight become very clear. We are very easy to identify the wrong of the practices in the world. So without equipping ourselves with the standard of God, it's difficult for us to live a holy life. So in the first John talk about, if we say we have no sin, then what happened? If we say I have no sin, what happened? Then God is a liar. If we say I have no sin, that means the words of God is not inside me. Right? 2 points. If we say I have no sin, I'm a liar. How come? Because God says everybody has sin. If I say I have no sin, the words of God is not inside me. What does that mean? A lot of people don't feel they have sin. Why? Because there is no standard there. There is no absolute standard there. In the culture, everything is relative. Right? Everything is relative. You want to, you just do it. But when we come to the teaching of the Bible, especially the Ten Commandments, it's not relative, it's absolute. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, it never changes. So when the words of God come into our heart to measure our thinking, to measure our thought, to measure our private life, to measure the way we live our life, and all of a sudden we know, there's a discrepancy. And that discrepancy is our sin. And that's what we have to change. So in order to live a holiness, a life of holiness, we definitely have to understand the words of God. Otherwise, there is no way we can live a holy life. One of the examples, if we read chapter 19, chapter 19. Let me ask you a question. Huh? Anyone have tattoo? Raise your hand. Tattoo. Oh, one. How about sister? No, nobody have tattoo. Huh? Is tattoo right or wrong? I know it's done before you are baptized, right? Is tattoo right or wrong? Wrong. Oh, chapter 19, verse 28. Chapter 19, verse 28. Okay. You shall not make any cutting in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any mark on you. I am the Lord. So no tattoo after baptism. Oh, that is the practice of the Gentile. But as a children of God, we don't follow the culture. And if we look into a little bit deeper from the New Testament, what is behind culture? Can you find one passage from the New Testament and tell you what is behind the culture? From the Pauline letter. When we think about culture, oh, I cannot live a life different culture, right? Because culture is a consensus of a society, right? So as a person who are civilized, always live according to the culture, they will follow the mainstream, in their thinking, in the way they talk, they live their life. But what behind culture? Can you find a verse? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1, and you made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. What is the course of this world? It's culture, the trend. According to the princes of the power of the air. What is the princes of the power of the air? The next one, the spirit who is now work in the son of disobedience. There is a spirit working in the son of disobedience. What kind of spirit? It's a spirit of error. It's an evil spirit. And among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So this is very clear to us. Behind the culture, there's a spirit moving there. And that spirit not coming from God. Of course, there are some culture actually is very good. In the United States, maybe some culture are very optimistic and very open-minded and very can-do spirit. All this kind of culture are very good. And what he's talking about here is a culture related to the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh, and the mind. And this kind of culture, actually, behind them is a Satan walking there. Now, so Leviticus tell us to live a holy life. And then chapter 1 to chapter 17, the sacrifice. Chapter 1 to 7, the law of sacrifice for approach to God. So if a person who wants to approach God, they have to offer the sacrifice. Today, it represents, if we want to approach God, we need to have a spiritual sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ, his blood, to cover us. The law of the priest, before a person who can serve God, he go through a certain type of sacrifice. And the law regarding the purity and the law of national atonement. and sacrifice from chapter 18 to 27, a sanctification for God's people and sanctification for God's priest, and sanctification in worship, and sanctification in the land of Canaan, and sanctification and vows. So there are many different kind of law, try to regulate them, try to discipline them, so they can reach to a life of sanctification, and they can be very close to the God of holiness. So this is so-called Leviticus, emphasized on holiness. Now we're going to the next one, is Numbers. It's very clear, the theme of the Numbers is to number the people two times. The first time is chapter 1, verse 2. The second time is chapter 26. And what was the reason, they number the people? What was the reason they number the people? What was the reason? He prepared to fight, right? Count how many people about 20 years, right? And carry the weapon and can go ahead and fight with the enemy. So that was the reason they number the people. So what does that mean? Today is the same thing, right? The church had to number the people. How many youths available? Go and fight. Right? Right now, Dominica, we have the church building is almost finished. And we have to count how many people who can speak Spanish, right? And come up with a list, and then enlist them. So next year they can go to Dominica to preaching the gospel in the street, right? The open crusade, something like that, numbers. So if a church wants to maximize the membership power, one thing is go through numbers. We have to know the demographic of the church members. How many age, how many people, who can do what? So number the people two times. The second theme, the consequences of failing to mix faith with God's promises. This is the main theme. Actually, when they left Egypt, it's only take less than 1 or 2 months to reach Canaan. The distance itself is not too far. And how come they were wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years? Why? That was a consequence of failing to mix faith with God's promise. If we read the book of Numbers. Let's see the book of Numbers. When they reach to chapter 13, when they reach to the border of Canaan, and Moses, God asked Moses to choose the people, chapter 13, verse 1, to spy on the promised land. So they choose 12 people, because everyone come from one tribe. Every tribe have one representative. So 12 people went in to spy the land of Canaan. How many days did they spy in Canaan? 40 days, right? The original purpose is so they can bring back a good news to encourage the church, the Israelite, right? We are reaching the border of Canaan, right? And that piece of land is far better. It's a land filled with honey and milk. It's a promised land, a land of blessing. So original intention is they can come back and give a good news to motivate them and to go in and to fight and to occupy that piece of land. However, after the 12 people come back, they make a different report. What was the difference of their report? The 12 people divided into two parts, two groups. How many people give a good report? Two give a good report. How many people give a very negative report? 10. Yes. So when we emphasize on church, right, everything goes through voting, but not necessary. All the result of voting is according to God's will, right? You see, they are on the borderline of the Canaan. If they are holding a meeting, let's vote whether we want to go in or not. How many say yes? How many say no? Two persons say yes, we should go. Why? Because God is Almighty God. God is Almighty power. Help us to cross the Red Sea. God is Almighty power to substitute the king of Pharaoh. God is the Almighty power, all right, to guide us today. So we can survive until now. So the two people have strong faith. They are very optimistic by the power of God, by the grace of God. They were able to overcome the land God promised to give to them. But another 10 people who look into the difficulties and they fail to give a good report. The city of Jericho, right? The wall is so tall. And the people inside there, they look like a giant. Compared with them, we are like what? Nothing, right? We are very small. So too difficult. It's impossible for us to go in, right? Because the 10 people give a good, bad report. So what happened? They don't have faith about God. So God was very angry and saying, God said, okay, since you don't have faith to go into the promised land, so you have to wandering around in the wilderness for what? One day count as 1 year. 40 days spying in the Canaan. You have to wandering in 40 years. So why they spend 40 years? It's not because the journey was so far they have to travel 40 years. It's because they spy on the land for 40 days and 1 day for 1 year. And how come 40 days, 40 years? Because all the older generation will die in the wilderness. So eventually, those who go into the promised land, all are new generation. No. We are not saying the new generation nowadays is better than older generation, right? We are saying the new generation, spiritually speaking, means they have stronger faith compared with the older generation. They witness so many power of God, but they still don't have faith. So new and old from spiritual perspective, not from the age point of view. So the consequence of failing to miss faith with God's promise. Let's think about one thing. Eventually, when they really go into the land of Canaan, did that difficulty really happen? When they really go into crossing the Jordan River, go into the Canaan, did that difficulty, they are so afraid. Did that happen? No, it did not happen. Look into Jericho, right? How do they overcome Jericho? God has his own way, and God's way is so simple. You just carry the ark every day circling the Jericho once. The 7 day, you circle the Jericho 7 times, and then the last time, shout aloud. Is there any way to fight the enemy in this way? No way, right? And this is God's way. And they follow God's way, and the Jericho city collapsed, right? And how about the people inside? If we read the book of Numbers and other book, you know, or Deuteronomy. God used a bee, right? Drive out all the foreign nations. So God has his own way. Eventually, they did not encounter the difficulty. They were afraid so much. So they don't have the faith. They have to travel for 40 years. The theme, the third one, God's continual care for his people. Even though they sin against God, but still, God's mercy and love never depart from them. So God continued to care for his people. So the key chapter 13 and 14 is talk about how they disbelieve God and why God was so angry and asked them to walk another 40 years. Now we look into the Christ in the book of Numbers, the shadow of Christ in the book of Numbers. The first one is talk about serpent. Let's look into Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. Verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea and go around land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loath this worst day's bread. So the Lord spent a fiery serpent among the people, and they bite the people, and many of the people of Israel die. They complain a lot. Even God provide manna and water. They were not satisfied with the provision of God, and they complain. So when they complained, how come complain is no good? Complain means, God, you are no good, right? So a verse, many people die, and therefore, 7. People came to Moses and said, we have sinned for the spoken against the law and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpent from us. So Moses prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, take a fiery serpent, a fiery serpent, and send it on a pole. And it shall be that very one who is bitten, when you look at it, it shall live. So here talk about God commanded Moses to make another serpent, right? From the bronze. A bronze serpent. So anyone who was bitten by the serpent, look at the bronze serpent, and they can survive. And according to the book of John, now Jesus Christ represents the serpent made by the bronze. Right? We are supposed to die. We have sinned. But as long as we start to look upon the mercy of God on the cross, Jesus Christ, we focus attention on his salvation on the cross, then our sin can be forgiven. Then we can be alive spiritually. So the book of Numbers already have a shadow of Christ there. Now we look into the next one. Rock. Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. Take the rod, and you, your brother Aaron, gather congregation together and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give the drink to the congregation and their animals. Look, God commanded Israel, right? You just speak to the rock before the congregation, and the rock will yield the water, right? That rock represents Jesus Christ, and water represents Holy Spirit. You speak to the rock, we pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will give us Holy Spirit, a living water gas out from our heart. But instead, what did Moses do? Verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water from out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice. Because of this, what happened? Moses was unable to go into Canaan because he did not follow God's command. So the rock typified Jesus Christ. When he struck the rock twice, means re-crucified Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ only suffered once, crucifixion on the cross. After Jesus Christ been crucified, we only pray and through his mercy, then he will give the living water to us. And when the second time struck the rock, means re-crucify Jesus, make Jesus Christ to suffer the second time. Of course, that's no good. Oh, right. Oh, so we should not make Jesus Christ to suffer more because salvation had been accomplished. And the third one, talk about manna. Manna represents the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 31. Oh, 32. And then Jesus said to them, "Most surely I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven." Verse 33. "For the bread of God is he who come down from heaven and give life to the world." Oh. And then verse 35. And Jesus Christ say, "I am the bread of life." Oh. So the Old Testament manna actually represent Jesus Christ himself, the bread of life. So in the heavenly journey, we need to have spiritual manna, Jesus Christ himself, or the words of Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus Christ is a spirit, is a life. So the words of Jesus Christ can nourish our life, can deep up our spirit, manna. And how about the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire? And pillar of cloud, pillar of fire represent Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will guide us. How come there's a pillar of cloud and pillar of fire? In the daytime, when you walk in the wilderness, right? In the daytime, you go 360 degrees everywhere you can travel, right? You make a left turn, right turn, front, turn back, all your freedom. When everywhere there is a way, there's no way. Right? Because too many choices. 360 degrees. What is the right way? I don't know. And then you have to rely on pillar of cloud. So when there's so many opportunities, right? You send out the resume and all the company want to hire you, 20 company. You send out the 10 school. All the school won't accept you. Congratulations. But very unfortunately, you have difficult to make a choice. But which one God really want me to study? Then you have to ask for pillar of cloud, right? God, please help me. Holy Spirit, guide me. I can go to a school you want me to study. The pillar of cloud. And how about the pillar of fire? In the evening time, total darkness. You look around, no way to go. Because every direction is in darkness. What should we do? The pillar of fire. Not only illuminate the way you can see, but also give you direction. And sometimes we will encounter a situation, no way out, right? When you want to apply school, this school reject you, that school reject you, everywhere reject you, what do you do? God, please help me, right? A pillar of fire. Same with the looking for a job after graduate, all right? Or looking for a spouse, right? One is enough. You don't need too many. Right? One is enough. If everybody wants you to marry you, then troublesome. But nobody wants to marry you, the trouble too. So you have to pray and pray and pray. The pillar of fire come out, and you can see the right way, the right person. So the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire represent the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit. He's guiding us. So when we look into the experience of Israel, sometimes we feel, the Israel deserve to die. So many mighty miracles, and they're still so stubborn. But wait a minute, think about the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire is outside them. But right now, today, Holy Spirit is deep inside us, right? So our experience is more vivid, more powerful, more strong. But still, a lot of time, our faith is so weak. We let the disbelief overcome us instead of really trust Him and follow Him to make a decision. And point five, the red heifer, red oxen. Chapter 19 is talk about the red oxen. It's for sacrifice. Actually, that represents Jesus Christ. He's a pure one, a blameless one, all right? And the tender one. And so Jesus Christ is ready to sacrifice Himself for us. So in the book of Numbers, even in the Old Testament, we can see very clearly about the prefiguration of Jesus Christ already hidden there. So salvation is not come by accident. Salvation is planning before the creation of the universe. So when God breathed the people to write down the Holy Scripture, you already can see the shadow of salvation there. So there is no way to explain Bible if there is no God. In no way you can explain how come the Bible can come so profoundly in unity. The only answer is because there is God. Now we look into the outline of the book of Numbers. From chapter 1 to chapter 10, it's a preparation of at Sinai that referring to the older generation, the previous generation. The generation came out of Egypt. God prepared them in order they can inherit the promised land. And then chapter 11 to 25, it talk about the failure of the older generation. Then later on, we are going to talk about the reason why they fail. Under the heaven, there's nothing new. We are keeping on repeating the same mistake the people committed 1,000 years ago. Nothing new under the heaven. And then chapter 26 to chapter 36 is a preparation of new generation. And when that preparation ready, then what happened? It's time for them to cross the Jordan River. So the new generation go into the Jordan River. From chapter 26 to chapter 36. Now, let's briefly survey the reason they fell in the wilderness. We look back into the book, one of the chapter, Psalm chapter 106. The reason Israel fell in the wilderness, has been summed up in Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 12. First reason, why do they fail? Verse 12. Verse 13. And soon forgot his work and did not wait for his counsel. Verse 14. But lasted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. What does that mean? We just read before, right? They are not content with eating manna and drinking the water. They want to eat meat. They want to eat the fish. They want to have a banquet. So that's called lasted exceedingly in the wilderness. And test God in the desert. What does that mean? They complain, can God perform the miracle to feed so many people? Actually, God can do everything, right? And how can God feed so many people? God is a big wind. And blow all the birds come in, right? And they start to kill the birds and eat the meat. But while they are eating, a lot of people have been killed by God. So it's nothing impossible to God. When they complain, God cannot do this, it's sin against God. Now, verse 15, something very interesting, right? But give them their request. God did not refuse, or if you want it. Actually, I don't give it to you because it's good for you, but if really you want it, I give it to you. But what happened? But send the leanness into their soul. So physically they enjoy it, but spiritually it becomes very lean. Leanness means what? You know the like a Japanese wrestling, right? One is 300 pounds, another one is 100 pounds, so lean, right? It can throw out of the stage. You have no power at all. So while we are enjoying all the material well-being, right, our heart cannot concentrate in pursuing God. From the time we get up until the time sleep, all the things occupy our mind is material things. Then because we cannot get connected with God, we are not empowered by God. So inside the inner man become weaker and weaker. No. So that means send the leanness into their soul. So no wonder Satan is so easy to defeat the Christian. How come? Because they have too many desire. Too many desire. So this is the first reason. How come so many people cannot finish the journey? Too many desire. So if you look into the spiritual figure in the Bible, most of them live a very simple life. Most of them. Right? How come? Because simple life easier for us to concentrate our mind in spiritual pursuit. You have too many things, it's a distraction. Right? Three car, three trouble, right? Two car, two trouble. One car, one trouble. No car. You answer by yourself. When you had a house, right, 3,000 feet, square feet, at 3,000 square feet trouble, 2,000 square feet, 2,000 square feet trouble, 1,000 square feet, 1,000 square feet trouble. You vacuum, you only one vacuum 1,000 square feet. If you have 3,000 square feet, you vacuum two times bigger. It's troublesome, right? You want to cool down the house, you have to pay double amount of money, energy. Superficially, enjoyment is good, but from spiritual perspective, a lot of people probably, from spiritual perspective, is not deserved. We are so weak, we cannot live that kind of life. It will drag down our spirituality. So this is the first reason, they fail. The second reason, 106, Psalm chapter 106, Verse 16. And when they envy Moses in the camp, and Aaron, the sent of the Lord, and earth opened up and swallowed Dathan, and covered the faction of Abiram, and a fire was kindled in their company, and the flame burned up the wicked, and they make a call. Oh, okay, until here. Verse 17 and 18 talk about what? They were not satisfied with Moses. But actually, Moses was what? Set up by God himself. So they were not content by that. They confront Moses. So later on, the land opened and swallowed them. A lot of people died. So what does that mean nowadays? Why we cannot finish the spiritual journey? A lot of time because of interpersonal relationship. We have friction about with some church member. If we can practice the teaching of forgiveness, the teaching of love, that will have no problem. But if we don't practice the teaching of the Bible, we don't want to forgive. We harbor some kind of bitterness, a hatred, and eventually we are going to leave the church. Even though we know heavenly kingdom is good. So what does the Bible say? Those who know the words of God and practice it, it's like a house building on the rock. First, we have to understand the teaching of the Bible. The second, we have to practice it. If I understand the teaching of the Bible, I don't do it. My faith is still like a house building on the sand. So some of the members, how come their faith collapsed? It's not because they don't know the teaching of the Bible. It is because they don't want to practice it. So easier to be caused stumbled by some people. So this is the second reason. How come they fail wandering around in the world and fail. And the third reason, you go Psalm 106, verse 19. And they make the calf in the Horeb and worship the molded image and thus change their glory into the image of an oxen eating the grass. And they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt and wandering walk in the land of Ham, or something by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them all. The third reason, how come so many people fail to finish the journey in the wilderness? Why? Because they worship the idol. And that idol made of gold. So today, what kind of job is a dream job, right? As a Christian, our standard is different. First, if we get a job down the way 5-10 years, our faith will decline. No matter how high the pay is, the job is not good. No. Because if a job will cause downfall of the faith, and we still want to pursue it, and job is more important than God, and job become an idol. So three important things we have to think about. Will the job affect my faith? Will the job affect my family? Will the job affect my health? Three things think about. Not because of high pay, high promotion, good working environment, then it's a good job. No. So the third reason, so many people fail. The fourth reason, verse 24. And they have despised the president and did not believe his words, but complained in the tent. They don't have a hope about going to the kingdom, the Canaan, because they have no hope, so they cannot endure the suffering. So how come some of them eventually they disappear from church? Because they never have hope going to heaven. If we really have a living hope, I want to go to heaven, we will never depart from the church. Right? And the last reason, in the book of Numbers, we can see verse 39, 106, 39. And they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people. the last one is on the brink of Canaan. They commit sexual immorality. So a lot of people die. Oh. So the book of Numbers, wandering in the wilderness, and all the generation gone because of so many reasons. And the new generation, they have better faith, and they go into the Canaan. So let us remind ourselves and renew ourselves, have stronger faith, live a holy life, and to avoid all different kinds of pitfall in the heavenly journey, then we were able to finish our journey and go into the promised land. Let's pray inside.